Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Thursday night thumping. Travis and Tay-Tay into it. Russ and Sean, they were not. Oh, there's a lot to unpack, and we will. Meanwhile, looking ahead, will the D in Big D stand for Dak bouncing back in Los Angeles? And what happens if he doesn't? Plus, upset alert. Does anyone think Philly will not fly Eagles fly higher than the Jets on Sunday? Let's do this. It's a Football Friday, people, and let's get it going right now. Here we go.
Russ is fired up.
Bartholomew's got a few tricks up his sleeve. Tannenbaum's got a few deals to make. Ryan Clark and Chris Canty will be along as well. It's a Football Friday, and here we go. Thursday night in Kansas City. It's the Chiefs. It's the Broncos. Kansas City has won 15 straight. And you know who was in attendance last night? Donna Kelsey. Just under 6 minutes left in the first quarter. Chiefs up 3-0. What is Russell Wilson doing here?
Bad eyes right here. Hook curl to curl flat. You know, he saw the curl flat guy go to the flats, but he didn't see the hook curl expanding in his own. Bad eyes right there, Green.
Tough start for Russell and the Broncos. Meanwhile, Travis Kelce had himself a night. 9 catches, 124.
You talk about, you know, a dynamic duel full of chemistry. He's finding the holes in the zones. He's just killing you a death by a thousand paper cuts.
Absolutely. That's what it was for Kansas City last night. Nothing spectacular, but just consistent in most of it was Kelce. And again, Brittany Mahomes seemed to love the action that she was seeing out there. Look at her. She's getting all excited. That's Brittany Mahomes. Okay, later in the drive. They said I talk about Taylor Swift too much. Chiefs third and goal at the Denver 3. That's Kadarius Toney for the touchdown. His first of the year. Chiefs up 13-0 at halftime. 6 minutes to go in the third. Broncos down 16-0. Here's another pick from Russell. This one, not his fault.
And they're able to move the ball, but tips and overthrows. He's a short quarterback. He needs windows to throw through. Kansas City knew that, and they swatted him often early.
Chiefs, another stop on defense. Fourth quarter, still scoreless on the Broncos. It's Wilson. It's Cortland Sutton in the corner of the end zone. This one is initially ruled incomplete. Sean Payton challenges, and he is successful. What a catch.
Great play. He's auditioning. Please help me. Come pray for me. Get me out of here. I can help you win.
They got 2 weeks to make it happen. 2 minutes left in the game now. Broncos down 19-8. Still a semblance of a chance. Samaje yeah. Perine. They turn it over again. Chiefs win it 19-8. Russell, 95 yards passing and two picks.
What?
After the game.
Not great.
Let's talk.
We had a chance, and I think we just got to play better, play cleaner. We've been playing, you know, really good ball and offense for, you know, for the past several weeks. And I think the best thing we can do is just keep believing, play cleaner. I gotta play better. And that starts with me. And, you know, I know I'll respond the right way.
So by the numbers, it's one of the worst games of Russell Wilson's career. Again, 95 yards, only the third time he's thrown for fewer than 100. His QBR was 10.1 on a scale of 1 to 100. That is the second lowest of his career. So, Mike Tannenbaum, a nation turns its lonely eyes to you, and I think back to what you told me you expected to happen before this season began. The Broncos wake up this morning at 1-5. What's the next move?
Sean Payton is putting everybody on notice that I didn't acquire you. You're here. You wouldn't have been here if it was up to me, and you could be benched. And Greeny, we got 18 days to the trade deadline. Jerry Jeudy, Groz mentioned someone like Josie Jewell, and even Russell Wilson, who has guaranteed money, they are all available. And Sean Payton has a really big bat in that facility, and he is beholden to nobody. And he is saying, you know what? I told the ownership when I took this job, this is a massive rebuild, and look at the product I inherited.
Why do you look like that part?
He said it was a massive rebuild. This is a team that, you know, great quarterbacks were clamoring to go to because of the talent. You know, I think Sean Payton has to take a lot of credit because some of the decisions that I'm sure we'll get to later contributed to the loss. So he's compounding the bad decision-making because he's making bad decisions as the leader of this team. And maybe can we say that he's making having the worst coaching job that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Same thing, make you laugh, make you cry. And he's doing a worse job than Nathaniel Hackett did last year because they were in a better situation. The defense played better. We don't even recognize the defense, even though they played better last year than they played this year. But he's made them worse.
Greeny, to that point, Hembo reminded me of this. 229 starts between Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Last night's QBR by Russell Wilson was worse than any time in 229 starts with Drew Brees.
In fairness, look, Kansas City's defense is good. Broncos short week on the road. All those things are hard. But this was the low point, right? I mean, Russell Wilson's had some lows this season and others. People have spent this whole week trying to tell me how good he's been this year. Last night certainly was not an argument on that side.
Everything's relative. He had, for the first four games of the season, five games of the season, been better than he was last year. But that's not saying much, right? And then last night it was a complete disaster. So I think the point Mike T is making is a good one. If you're Sean Payton, you come in here, and now you're 1-5. And, you know, your mandate is to make the team into a championship team. And if you say, well, I can't win with this guy, I can't win with this guy, we need picks. Let's see who we can move out of here in the next couple of weeks before the trade deadline. And then in terms of the quarterback, you know, what do we do? Do we take a look at Jarrett Stidham at some point? Do we think about where we're going to be in the draft and what we can do at the position next offseason? How movable is Russell Wilson's contract? I think all that stuff, all those conversations are happening very soon, if not already.
Here's the first problem that you have, just organizationally speaking. And I understand there was an ownership change, which sometimes leads to this sort of thing. But in consecutive seasons, they have essentially given total control of the organization to two different people, right? They became the Denver Russell Wilsons two off seasons ago. Now they're the Denver Sean Paytons, and he wants to get rid of Russell Wilson.
Well, we don't know that, but he could, yeah. Oh,
fair enough.
Sure.
But we're speculating that he might. Look, after last night, it'd be kind of tough to think otherwise. Let's go to the first pick, because I want to try and figure out how much of the blame. Look, the Broncos are a mess, okay? It is an unfortunate mess.
Yes.
This is a team that was bad last year and has gotten worse. Let's look at the first Russell Wilson interception. Right. His eyes never move.
Right, he's staring down the receiver, but he's seeing the hook, the curl flat guy, right, go to the flat. So he's reading the defender. The defender moves from one zone to the next. So watch right here. The first guy, see, he's in the curl window. Now he goes from the curl to the flat, but the hook curl guy expands his zone from the hook to the curl. So he never sees that guy undercutting. That's basically cover three, four underneath, three over the top, and he doesn't read it. He's reading the one defender. When the defender moves, he don't realize that somebody else is replacing him. That is elementary football. Cover three is something that we learned from Little League, that we understand that if you send somebody to the flats, that is somebody, and usually the widest guy is responsible for the flats, right? And he's also responsible for the force in the run. Why it has hook flat, right? Curl flat. But the hook curl guy expands. Once somebody expands his zone, he never sees them. That is football 101. That is elementary, junior high, peewee league football.
And Russell Wilson missing it there. So obviously a very bad night for him. But Sean Payton didn't have a great night either. For those of you who didn't see, and if this had been a much closer game, I think this would have been a much bigger deal. Let me show you how the first half ended. It wasn't in the highlight because it took a lot of setting up. But this is the Broncos with the ball near midfield, 3rd and 5. Chris Jones is going to sack Russell Wilson. And then inexplicably, Denver called timeout, not Kansas City. Denver did. And then after a bad punt, Casey winds up turning it into a long field goal. After the game, Sean Payton explained why he called the timeout.
That's a boneheaded mistake by me. They were calling one as well, and I'm off it down. But that was stupid.
Well, he never takes full responsibility. I mean, they were calling one as well. He always deflects, right?
Oh, no.
Like, take it to yourself, man. Like, I messed up.
I thought he was just saying that as a way of saying even worse mistake. Like, I could have just let them call it. But, disaster.
To be clear, when he says off a down, he thought it was now third down,
yeah.
When in actuality it was fourth down. He calls a timeout, and the Chiefs turn it into 3 points.
Greeny, I'm screaming at my TV. Like, in 30 years, I've never seen that before. You're punting and stopping the clock at the same time. What's really scary, though, candidly, is nobody on that staff is comfortable to tell Sean, you're making a mistake. No one, he's, like, beyond reproach right now. Like, he made a huge mistake, and no one's there to be able to tap him on the shoulder. Hey, coach, let the clock run. That was a sack, not an incomplete pass. Let the clock run. Let's get out of the half. Yeah. He gave them 3 points.
Yeah, he gave them 3 points. They needed to get – they barely got it, right? It was a 60-yard field goal. Yeah. So any second, any extra timeout could have led to that. Look, it's a complete and total system failure from the top down in Denver right now. They couldn't have imagined it going this badly. Now that it has, they've become one of the most interesting teams in the league because of what they might do next.
Yeah, super high-profile people. And this is when you start to figure out, because the relationship between Sean and Russell, let's face it, it was an arranged marriage. It's not mm-hmm. like the two of them selected each other. Although the one thing I will keep coming back to is that Sean Payton took that job knowing who the quarterback was, knowing what the franchise had invested in him, both financially and in trade capital, or excuse me, in draft capital. So the idea that he's going to walk in there and 6 games in going to say, sorry, guys, this wasn't my choice. I'm not 100% comfortable with that, Mike T.
Yeah, I agree. I see it differently. If I'm Sean Payton, it's no lose. If I resurrect Russell Wilson, I am the QB whisperer. If it doesn't work out, I got a massive 5-year contract. I'll go get the next guy. I'm dealing from a position of strength.
I get why he feels that way, but if you're the owner, if you're boss, you're willing to have him walk in there in 6 days. Russell Wilson has been a very good player in the NFL. We've seen it. All right, the idea that he was never that good in the first place is not right. Just how good he was, I guess we could debate, but he wasn't this.
Right. And if I'm Sean Payton, I'm saying, Mr. Walton, you know what? My job description isn't Russell Wilson. My job description is to build a championship team, and this team stinks, and I'm going to fix it.
At some point, we have to turn the page on some of these older coaches, and he's living off reputation alone. He wasn't a great coach at his end of his New Orleans. He left them in salary cap hell, came here, and he's off more off reputation than actually Acura Alley. I think sometimes we try and separate him from Mike McCarthy. We give Mike McCarthy all this criticism. They basically got the same damn resume.
They do.
Right? But, you know, they had a Hall of Fame quarterback. So if you don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you're going to trust him to pick the other quarterback. He didn't pick Drew Brees. Drew Brees was already somebody who proved that he can play in this league, and he would have, and he was having a great season until he got injured and they inherited him. But, you know, Sean Payton's not some guy that developed some great quarterback. When Drew Brees was done, he looked for the high heels to get out of Dodge, right? So now you're going to trust him to go draft your next quarterback. I'm sure he had a whole presentation about how he can fix Russell Wilson and what the plan was with all the pieces that they have. Now you're telling me we got to sell off? That's not the presentation, the PowerPoint that you gave to me when you came in here.
I'd like to have known what it was. Excuse me. I'd like to have known what he said his plan was when he got there. One way or another, we'll have more on that as we go. But hold everything. With game of the night last night was actually in Philadelphia, where it absolutely sounded like an SEC crowd. Oh, Joel Embiid is in
there. Oh, hell no. I can't see. I didn't pay all this money to sit behind a 7-footer.
Bottom four, Phil's down 1-0. Nick Castellanos, what a series he's having. And watch the bat flip here. Phil's with a little attitude. And the crowd going crazy. How much do you love the Powder Blues, by the way? Bottom of five, same score. Is that Pete Rose? No, it's Trey Turner with a solo shot. And another bat flip as the Phil's take a 2-1 lead and the crowd continues to roar. How about this one, Danny? We good with that?
Yeah.
A little style there. Bottom of six, same score. Bases empty, two out. Castellanos. He did it again. Castellanos is the first player ever with back-to-back multi-home run games in the postseason. Phillies take a 3-1 lead. Oh, that one's got a little sauce on it. Top of seven. This was the best shot the Braves would have to get back in it. Ronald Acuna up. Bases loaded and two out. It might be. It could be. It isn't. How about the catch? Johan Rojas. What do you think, Bartholomew?
Well, a little dramatic at the end of it. Okay, it's all good.
You went.
Swag out.
Top of nine. 3-2 is the score. Runners at the corners. And there's your ball game. He went. He can't hold it up. Phillies win it 3-1. They head back to the NLCS for the second straight year. Look at the celebration in the Phillies clubhouse as they eliminate the Braves, and on they go to the NLCS. Braves, just the latest team to go home early after a great season. The top five teams in baseball this year went 1-13 in the playoffs. It's the first time ever none of the top five teams reached the LCS. Coming up is Monday night, a must-win for Dak in Dallas. Can he bounce back against Herbert and the Chargers? We'll answer that question. Plus this one, Jalen Hurts and the unbeaten Eagles. Are they on upset alert? Can Zach and the Jets do something they've never done before? Anyone? Anyone?
I'll take it, Greeny.
Okay, I'll try.
Oh, no.
We're back with that and more in a moment. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Get Up is brought to you by the new series Goosebumps, now streaming on Hulu and Disney+. Do you know what we haven't showed you yet? The craziest finish, not just of the night, maybe of the year. Houston, West Virginia last night, 42 points in the fourth quarter. Let's pick it up late. West Virginia down by 11. Garrett Green scrambling, looking. Bart, take it himself.
Hey, take it yourself.
Touchdown. Converts the two-point conversion. It's a three-point game. 20 seconds left. Still down those three. This is a 4th and 10. Hudson Clement. Bart, he's gone.
This is unbelievable, Green.
They're not going to get
it. The greatest game of my life.
West Virginia. But wait a minute. They get the traditional celebration penalty, so they get extra yards on the kickoff. Hold everything. We're not done. One chance left for Houston. Let's hear the call on the Hail Mary.
Back to pass, Donovan Smith. Smith steps up in the pocket, unloads it, throws it all the way downfield into the end zone. Tip, and it is caught by the Cougars. Caught for a touchdown. Unbelievable. The ball is
tipped
up in the air.
Like Dame after he called
the game
over.
Win the game on the final play.
Unreal. Oh, man. You never bat the ball up. You bat the ball down, Greeny.
Say that again.
You always bat the ball down. You never bat it up. It's always the trailer that gets the deflection.
Houston wins it. Again, 42 points scored in the fourth quarter last night. What a crazy start to the college football weekend. And tomorrow night, we've got the big one. We got Bo Nix. We got Michael Penix. We got Oregon and Washington on ABC and the ESPN app. 3:30 Eastern. College Game Day starts your morning from Seattle. 9 a.m. Eastern. Meanwhile, back to the NFL. DraftKings Sportsbook predictions brought to you by DraftKings. Here's our one for today. Tannenbaum, we've got Tua more or less than 274.5 passing yards against Carolina.
Way over. Oh, yeah. Look, they are rolling on offense, and I don't see how Carolina can slow them down in Miami. They're struggling on offense, and I just think what Miami's doing, regardless of the fact that Devin Achane is going to be missing some time, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, they're going to keep rolling.
Feels like a low number, right? Yeah. Doesn't it feel like a somewhat a startlingly low number?
Well, they're assuming that he's going to be resting after halftime. You know what I mean? Mike White would be in.
Graziano, let's go to Josh Allen against the Giants. 295.5 total yards, more or fewer?
I say more. Look, they're coming off a loss as Buffalo. The Giants injury report looks like one of those long drugstore receipts you get, like the number of names on there. You can barely fit them on one page. I think the Giants are in really bad shape. The Bills need the win. Yeah. I think Josh Allen has a big night.
All right, then let's go one more. Bart, this one's near and dear to our hearts.
Yes.
Zach Wilson, more or less than 0.5 passing touchdowns against Philadelphia?
I'm going to go more. I mean, they had to go out and get Bradley Roby because they're struggling and thin on the secondary. I think this team can, you know, move the ball a little bit. You know, they're undefeated, but they don't look invincible. So I'm going to go more. That's okay. Disrespectful to Zach.
I'm going to go to I'm going to look down at my piece of paper here, and the words that have been written are, "What is the blueprint?" for the Jets to spring an upset over Philly? That's the question I've been told to ask you. What is it? How do we win this game?
Well, honestly, to me, it's feeding Breece the beast, right?
And you know, Breece Lightning.
Yeah, you're talking. He's averaging 7 yards a carry. I think they're really starting to find some things. I think the ABT injury, hurts. But Max Mitchell played well last year. I think you look at Becton. Becton has had his best game as a left tackle. Feed Breece the beast, shorten the game, and that defense is going to have to step up. They're very similar to that Washington team that kind of gave Philly a run for their money. They have to take the same blueprint out, but they're going to have to score in the red zone.
Graz, if there's one thing that gives me some hope, it is what you're about to tell us about maybe the best player on the Eagles' defense.
Jalen Carter, the rookie defensive tackle, showed up on the injury report yesterday with an ankle injury, did not practice. Practiced the day before. Anytime somebody goes that direction on the injury report during the week, it's an alarm bell. So we'll see what happens today. Fletcher Cox already banged up. If they are banged up in the middle of that defensive line, then maybe there is a way for Breece Hall to break a couple big ones.
Greeny, that's perfect. The Jet defense has been good this year, not great. So let's play keep away. Give the ball to Breece Hall. Attack the middle of that defense. That's the way to win this game. 38 minutes or more of time and possession.
The problem is with Breece, you don't play keep away because he scores on one play.
Exactly. Good problems to have.
Here's the thing. Here's what I will say. Again, the Jets, we could put the picks up on the screen. The Jets are a 7-point
favorite.
They
scratch miles out. They scratch miles out.
A couple of picks on the Jets.
True right? Believers.
The ultimate homers, I'll live with it. That's no problem. Here's what I've been saying all week long about Zach. They've got to let him play and live with the mistakes. You know what Zach is? He's Josh Allen's mini-me. He should be doing all of that. Josh Allen is 6'4 and 250, whatever he is. And Zach is like a much smaller version. But he's going to run around. He's going to make crazy plays. He's going to make unbelievable throws. And then every once in a while, he's going to make the kind of mistake that makes you say, what on earth is he doing? You have to let him be that. Because you can't – the Jets aren't the 85 Bears defense. You're not going to beat this team 13-10. I say let him try and make some plays, hope that some of them turn into big plays, and live with a few of the mistakes.
You know, Greeny, that can work, though, if Robert Saleh walks into that defensive meeting room and says, hey, fellas, we got to step it up a notch or two. It's been good. It has to be great. So when that happens and we pay the Zach Wilson tax and fumble the ball or turn it over, bail me out. If you do that, we got a real shot.
No, see, I believe that the Jets defense have to make the necessary adjustment. They have to understand how they've been attacked the last 2 weeks. It's been screens and quarterback scrambling, and they're facing a very mobile quarterback this week. These linebackers can't get the tremendous depth that they've been getting. They've been getting too deep in their zones, and quarterbacks have been hurting. It was Mahomes, that really hurt them, on the
Scramble.
Yeah, on the scramble, right? And they've been getting too much depth, and Russell Wilson hurt him early in the game. I think they have to come up and make the necessary adjustments.
Got hope for me, Garziano? Yes or no?
I mean, I don't see it. Obviously, weird things happen in this league all the time. And if the Eagles are banged up on defense and the Jets can – where are the Jets better than the Eagles, right? That's a question. I think Breece Hall –
They're better at linebacker.
All right. So, and I think Breece Hall is probably, is better than what they have at running back. So, and I think that's their recipe. Run it with him, feed him, and hope that.
See, but the thing is, Philly knows that, right? So we've seen Zach win two different ways. They forced him to throw the ball against Kansas City. They forced him to run the ball against Denver, and they was able to win two different ways.
Throw it on first down. Be aggressive. Live with the turnovers and try and win a high-scoring game. Don't give up. Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat SGP every day. Download the app and use the promo code GETUP when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Coming up, will the D in Big D stand for Dak bouncing back in L.A.? And what do we do if somehow it does not? We're talking about that, and Chris Canty will join the conversation next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're at the bottom of the hour. Get up. Game of the night last night in Kansas City. Chris Canty has made his way here. The Chiefs looking to make their 16th straight win over the Broncos. Donna Kelce in the house, among others. Just under 6 minutes left in the first quarter. Chris, Russell Wilson, what do we have here?
Yeah, Russell Wilson is dropping back the pass, and he's got to see that defender cutting under that receiver, Jerry Jeudy. That is an inexplicable mistake by Russ. Clean pocket, he's got to be able to assess and deliver the football or just get rid of it. Do no harm.
Bart said the same thing. Nick Bolton with the pick. Meanwhile, Travis Kelce had himself a really good night. 9 receptions, 124 yards for Kelce in prime time. And it was Brittany Mahomes, among others, celebrating his big night. Later in the drive, Chiefs, 3rd and goal at the Denver 3. It's Kadarius Toney with the touchdown.
Yeah, Giants fans are virtualized. Kadarius Toney found his new life in his second season, second tenure with the Kansas City Chiefs. That was the lone touchdown, 1 of 5 for the Chiefs in the red zone.
16-0 in favor of Kansas City. Broncos again. Russell Wilson, maybe that one's not much. His fault on the tip ball, his second interception of the night. He throws for just 95 yards. Broncos got a late touchdown, otherwise it would have been a shutout. 19-8 is the final, and so Denver falls to 1-5 on the season. Worst start for the Broncos since 1994. Bear in mind, that includes the Nathaniel Hackett season. They've allowed over 33 points a game this year, which ranks last in the NFL. But the reality of it is, Chris Canty, for much of the, well, let's say the first month of this season, it was easy to blame the defense. They were historically bad. The reality is, the defense didn't lose them the game last week against the Jets, and the defense didn't lose them the game last night. You hold Kansas City to 19 points. Who's that game on last night?
That's on Russell Wilson. Now, Sean Payton didn't cover himself in glory on the possession they had before halftime. You got stopped on 3rd and 5. It was a sack by Chris Jones. You forget what down it was and call a timeout and save time for the Chiefs to position themselves to get a 60-yard Harrison Butker field goal. Inexcusable. Good players can't overcome bad coaching. I get it. But Russell Wilson, the 2 interceptions, they were all on him. That defender that's coming unblocked, you got to find a way to work that football around him or just don't throw it. But again, another situation where he's putting the football in harm's way. And, gee, the one that is a mind-boggling gaffe by the quarterback, the first drive of the game, you work the ball into plus territory. It's 4th and 3. What the hell are you doing, Russ? Throw the football. Give somebody a chance to make a play on it. Give somebody, give the refs a chance to call defensive holding or DPI to take a sack and to go out of bounds. That is inexplicable. It doesn't make any sense. Now,
even an interception there is better.
Right, it's better than a punt.
Exactly. So those are the things that a quarterback that's 34 years old and that's making $48.5 million has got to be better in. Situational awareness, being able to execute. Everybody wanted to point to the numbers earlier this week and say that Russell Wilson is having a bounce back year. To me, last night's game is evidence that you can't just look at the numbers. You actually got to look at the tape. And Russell Wilson has not been good. I am not impressed with him putting up garbage time stats that are meaningless when it comes to your team's overall success.
I tried saying that this week and everybody yelled at me. I mean, I've been summarily yelled at for trying to say that this week, and people want to show me, oh, his numbers are just as good as Patrick Mahomes. I don't know. I watch the games. It doesn't look anything like Patrick Mahomes. Again, here's the tip picked here. So Bart, as you sit here and analyze, let's say we had never seen Russell Wilson before. Because his past is so confusing that it sort of skews the evaluation.
Right.
If you just evaluated what we've seen this year and we see last night, what would you say?
I'd say he looks like an inexperienced quarterback that had, you know, bad decision-making, right? We talk about the first interception. You know, soft play action, he predetermined where he was going with that ball. Maybe he wanted to get Jerry Jeudy involved and get him a happy. But when you talk about it, it's basically cover three. And the curl flat defender goes to the flat, and the hook curl player expands.
Here's
so
the play.
And he's eyeing the whole time. He's not working anybody with his eyes. It's a two-man route, max protection, so he has time. See the late check down right there? That's where the ball should go once you see that the hook curl player is expanding from the hook. So right here, curl flat player. He goes to the flats because he sees the flat route. The hook curl player expands to two. That's where the ball is going. He eyed his receiver down the whole time. Easy pick by the linebacker.
I agree. What's really interesting about Bart's point from an evaluation standpoint, you want to see week-to-week progress. Last week in the Jet game, Sean Payne's yelling at Russell Wilson, you're hot to the back, you're hot to the back. And that's when that fumble ended the game. To Bart's point, that's exactly what happened last night. He could have just checked it down to the back.
So tell Canty what you told me earlier. You believe Sean Payton is saying this morning to the people who pay his salary.
I am beholden to nobody. I inherited this mess. It is not my fault.
He's worse than I thought.
And they could be benched. I got 18 days to trade whoever I want.
Man.
Jerry Jeudy, Russell Wilson, despite his contractual complexities, they are all available, Mr. Walton. I have 5 years. I will fix it, but I need a clean slate.
If he can find somebody to take Russell Wilson's contract, he should go in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry, man. There is no way they're moving that.
Great.
No,
although I will say this. We're seeing more and more of this in the league. If they eat a large portion of that $17 million, that could potentially change the dynamic.
You know what? This is worth people watching, right? Because Russell Wilson's got a 2025 injury guarantee of like a $37 million salary.
Yes.
If he were to get hurt playing this year, and they're on the hook for not just guaranteed money in 24, but also 25. Right. So keep an eye.
Fifth day of the new league year in 2024.
Yeah.
So that's something that you got to watch. That's a lot of money that the Broncos would be on the hook for. If you're Sean Payton, you're saying, hey, guys, I want to bench Russell Wilson to send a message to my locker room. And in the process, I'm going to save y'all some money, too.
So I get all of that. Here's the question I want to ask.
Yep.
Anyone watching the game can say, boy, that quarterback looks terrible last night, and we can sit here and say that. You don't need us to tell you that. Here's the question I want to ask you. Sean Payton comes in, and boy, he had a lot to say when they hired him, right? And I get it. He was an analyst. Rex has had a lot to say also. But Sean Payton, he's got a lot to say. He comes in there, and quite candidly, that team is worse. They're not better than they were a year ago.
Yep.
They're worse than they were a year ago. Russell Wilson, maybe a little bit better in some games. Last night, not so much. We talked about him missing up the downs last night and calling the timeout when he shouldn't. We played the soundbite earlier. Terrible mistake. I guess mistakes happen. The question is, how much of the responsibility should fall on Sean Payton as he's walking into his bosses and saying, get rid of all these guys, they're the problem, it's not me.
Not a lot of it. Not a lot of the responsibility is going to fall on him as long as Russell Wilson is there. Russell Wilson is the fall guy for Sean Payton. Mm. It was always going to be that way this season coming in. Russell Wilson was bad when they gave him all the control under Nat Hackett in his first year in Denver. And so now ownership is looking at it and saying, we made this commitment to Sean Payton because he said that he could try to get us turned around. But I think, honestly, if you're talking about the front office with the head coach and ownership, they were closer to a rebuild than everybody else understood. And I think Sean is saying, this is the evidence. What we're doing is the body of work, which is why they're stripping it down around.
But here's where I push back, though, because you can have a rebuild and still show improvement.
Right.
I don't see this team getting better. There's no offense. There's no place you can say, hey, these young players are actually getting better. They're going backwards.
But they're getting rid of players around him. They got rid of Randy Gregory 2 weeks ago. They're shopping Frank Clark.
Yep.
Jerry Jeudy is thought to be on an auction block. They are stripping this thing down, and Russell Wilson is still trying to live in the house.
But it's basically because of the decisions that he's made, because he made the decision to bring in Van Joseph and not hire Rex Ryan. He made the decision. I'm sure he had a whole PowerPoint presentation when he was talking about how he's going to make Russell Wilson the next Drew Brees and all that type of stuff. Listen, he wasn't a good coach, you know, at his end of his tenure with the Saints, right? He's living off reputation. He's running an old offense. The league has passed him by. He has to hit the refresh button on them old-ass plays that he's going because nobody's falling for them old banana in the tailpipe.
Quick question. Did I miss a meeting? When Russell Wilson got to Denver, weren't we talking about them like
the best roster
was going to go to the Super Bowl? Wasn't it? Didn't we all think Aaron Rodgers
wanted to go there? Deshaun Watson wanted to go there.
So much talent in Denver. That wasn't 20 years ago. We're not talking about the Orange Crush. That was a year and change ago. Now it's a total teardown.
Hold on, Greeny. We sat here this spring when they made the hire for Sean Payton, and I told you this is going to be a conflict when it comes to the two players, the quarterback and the head coach, stylistically. Right. They did not blend. Sean Payton is very much so play within the structure of offense, quarterback hit your back foot, get the ball out on time, 2.5 seconds or less. Russell Wilson made his name off of second reaction plays, using the legs, using the athleticism to extend the down. Those two things don't go together well, and that's what we're seeing play out.
But great coaches do what? They adjust their system to the personnel they have. So quit talking about what another man did.
Wait. Just to be fair, right? Like, you're not talking about a 25-year-old Russell Wilson, right? If he's going to still extend plays at 34, it's not going to look like it used to look. So you're not absolving Sean Payton of anything, but I think Russell Wilson might not have been, you know, fixable when Sean Payton got there. And if that's the case,
I think
Mike T's been making this point since the offseason. I don't think it's out of the question that at some point this season you see Jarrett Stidham for a couple.
One of them is a square peg and the other one is a round hole. I always forget which one doesn't go in what. But whichever way it is, it doesn't work. All right, before we let Chris go, let's play that game that is sweeping the nation. It's called Can He or Can't He? Here we go. Can Zach Wilson pull off the upset against the Eagles? Can he or can't he?
I'm sorry, G, but he can't. It's not going to happen for Zach Wilson. The reality is that this is a really good defense from the Philadelphia Eagles, and the best player on their team is Jalen Carter. Their defensive tackle, he leads all defensive tackles with interior pass rush wins. One of the things that Zach was able to have success with is being able to use play action, but you got to run the football to be able to do that. The Eagles have the number one run defense in the NFL.
All right, so what I heard there was you think there's a chance. Next, can Justin Fields and the Bears upset the Vikings? Can he or can't he?
Yeah, if Justin Fields, number one, throws the ball to DJ Moore, number two, it was a simple formula. You look at the last couple of weeks against the Denver Broncos, against the Washington Commanders, they had a ton of success. DJ Moore had a career night, over 200 yards receiving. As long as Justin Fields does that, throwing the ball to DJ Moore, giving them a chance, they can upset the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I liked him in this game. One more. Can Dak Prescott bounce back on Monday night against the Chargers? Can he or can't he?
He can, G, and I'm not saying that based on any other tangible evidence. I'm saying that because if he doesn't, can you imagine the conversations around in Dallas? All of a sudden, we're talking about the all-time CYA finger-pointing sessions with the volume on the conversation being turned up around whether or not the Cowboys can realize expectations with Dak as the quarterback.
All right, Chris Canty, unsportsmanlike every weekday morning on ESPN Radio, coast to coast. Outstanding to see you as always. Thank you, my man. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about the Cowboys coming up next. Can Dak Prescott bounce back? And to the point Chris just made, Graziano, what's our conversation going to sound like Tuesday morning if he doesn't? I shudder to think we're talking about it next.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's do it!
Let's get this thing going!
Give me some reason to think the Jets can stun the world Sunday afternoon.
Any given Sunday?
Boom! I hold you!
There you go!
Artie, what the fudge, man?
Lincoln Riley has promised a change and he hasn't really delivered it. Heather, it's all yours.
I'm sorry. Let Paul get a drink of water.
Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky.
Love on the rocks. Ain't no big surprise.
Just pour me a drink and I'll tell you some
lies. There you go.
Will Russ prove to be merely a pawn, or did these two last as long as Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn?
Oh, God, no.
Good heavens.
A little Dr. Dre, a little Dr. Seuss. Yeah.
Drop the alpha, man.
I'm sexy green.
This is what happens when y'all go in the makeup room together. Y'all all get high.
I like bad, Jeff.
Boo, boo, boo.
Can I make up a rhyme? You better believe I can.
What's that, Bish?
We call him the Bishop, so she said Bish.
Bish.
Just to be clear.
We're going to need some real therapy after this.
Then what happens, Bishop?
It is quite literally sweeping the nation.
Boy.
I'm working on my moves.
I mean, you gave it a shot.
I tell you right now, Tannenbaum, you and me, and we do like a dance-off to that for charity. Absolutely no one will watch it. It'll be the worst television in history.
You're going to put me back in the corner.
At some point today, you're going back in the corner. Okay, looking ahead to Sunday and the NFL weekend, the next game is called What Are the Chances? We're looking for percentage answers here. Mike T., Giants, what are the chances they upset Buffalo?
1.8% greedy. Wow. This team is beat up. I'm presuming that Daniel Jones may not play. Saquon Barkley, real questionable. Brian Daboll will have Kleenexes on the sideline, remembering what it was like to be coaching on the other side. I know Buffalo's not completely healthy, but they're home and they'll be ready to go.
How about a game that might be interesting here, Bart? The Browns. What are the chances they upset unbeaten San Francisco?
I'm going 40%. You talk about the best defense in football right now. Myles Garrett is having a, you know, all-pro defense player of the year. Za'Darius Smith is a perfect complement to him. This is a team that is physical, one of the only teams in defense that can match that offense and be physical with them on the other side of the ball.
Okay, I like that one. It's an interesting game. Graziano. Bill Belichick and the Patriots, what are the chances they lose by 30 again against the Raiders?
0.0%, and that's not because of anything the Patriots are doing right now. The Raiders need 2 weeks to score 30. They've only scored 18 in a game once this year, and I haven't gone over that number. I just think this is going to be a low-scoring affair between a couple of teams that are really struggling.
All right, so those are some.
I know the Raiders won last.
Interesting. Yeah, I
still struggling.
I don't know how they're 2-3, but somehow they are. Meanwhile, those are all interesting games on Sunday. But maybe the most interesting game comes on Monday night. The struggling Dallas Cowboys. We all know what happened to Dak Prescott against San Francisco. The season-high 3 interceptions. Now he's going to L.A. to play the Chargers. Yesterday, Damian Woody, right here, raising the following observation.
How often do you see Dak Prescott making plays over and beyond the actual play call? I don't see it. It's not apparent on the film. I'm calling it like I see it. When I don't see a guy being a playmaker who's getting broke off a bag, then I'm going to let you know what it is.
Right. So, I mean, that was a significant debate that we got into between the First Lady and the Bishop over here on this side of the table about how Dak broke off a bag and yet is still not able to elevate his teammates. When we watched the Cowboys and they got obliterated on Sunday night, how much of it is reasonable to lay at the feet of the quarterback?
I mean, I think you have to lay at the feet of the quarterback a lot of it, and a lot of it has to go to the feet of the offensive coordinator who fired a great, young, innovative offensive coordinator and bringing back, like I said again, bringing back some of these old plays, no imagination, you know, no creativity, no innovation. You know, and so, like, they're married together, and I think they're going to rise or fall together as well. You know, oddly enough, you think calling this the Moore Bowl, but also these are two head coaches that's going to be in this matchup that I think whichever team doesn't win, coach could be put on alert, right? Because you understand that the roster is good rosters, but these coaches aren't being force multipliers, as, you know, Mike Tannenbaum always likes to say.
Yeah, again, that's Brandon Staley in L.A., but let's deal with Dallas for a moment here. And Mike McCarthy and Brian Schottenheimer is the offensive coordinator now. They let Kellen Moore go, and on he goes to the Chargers. But the question is this. Dan Orlovsky described their offense, the Cowboys' offense, as the worst thing you can be, which is predictable.
Right.
Everyone sees it coming. Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about with the lack of motions and shifts and formations. It's not a lot of things that put a lot of stress on a defense. You know, whenever you don't do those things, and I'm able to communicate as a defender, understand that I don't have to be tricked with all this trickeration, right? All this stuff that Miami does, mess with your eyes, the late motions and all that stuff, that forces you to communicate post and pre-snap.
You know, Dan Graziano, sometimes we talk about Jerry Jones like he's George Steinbrenner because they are so high profile and so bombastic and so quotable. But the reality is, the one thing that Jerry is not usually is reactionary. Like George would
impulsive.
Just, he would fire people like every 10 minutes. Jerry Jones does not make big, crazy moves, despite what we think of him.
Is there a scenario where you could see this thing going sideways enough this season? We know he's got Dan Quinn in the building, and we've talked a lot about that, and the world loves him. Is there a scenario where if this thing continues like this, you could see a change in season in Dallas?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
No chance.
No, because he did that once. Was it Wade Phillips that he let go in season? And he's spoken about how he regrets that. He had Jason Garrett ready to go, and they thought Jason was a great coaching prospect that they were ready to give the job to. So, no, I don't think in season. I think McCarthy gets the season. If they were to fall apart and miss the playoffs, I think all bets are kind of off at that point. But, no, I think I agree with you. I covered Steinbrenner. It's different. And Jerry Jones, I think, will give him at least the year.
Mike, I feel like there's some heat here. Like, listen to what Bart just said. This offense has gotten worse. That's not debatable. I don't care what the stats say, anything. You watch this team play. Whenever they need their offense to play big, they don't win. It's that simple.
Yeah, but let me push back, Reed, because this time of year you say, how do we improve? And I understand the scheme could be better. Agreed. However, we've seen a lot of injuries and teams are scrambling. How Trayvon Diggs or... all these other guys getting hurt, Jalen Ramsey, they have solutions, specifically Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks only has 9 catches for 73 yards. And as Hembo reminded me, so far, only 2 touchdowns and 4 interceptions to the Cowboy wide receivers. Their solutions are there. They got to get the ball, Brandon Cooks.
But you're making my point, like for me. Whose fault is that?
Well, it's a combination of both McCarthy and obviously Dak. But to me, if you could get them the ball, they could actually make the plays they need to be made.
Brandon Cook has been traded for more first-round draft picks than anybody in the history of sport.
Right.
And every team that he's going to has found a way to get 1,000 yards out of him. Yet the Cowboys have found a way to make him invisible. That is something that is on the coordinator and on the head coach. You have to make a conscious effort to get him involved in the game, and they haven't been able to do that. They can't even get their main guy, CeeDee Lamb, the ball. Yeah. I think they're really missing the fact that they let Dalton Schultz go, and that's largely because they had to pay Dak Prescott, and those credit card bills are coming due.
They're having this weird season with the offense, right? Because there's been 3 games where they kind of didn't need it. Right, yep. The Giants game, the Jets game, the Patriots game, they're scoring on defense. They're up big early. The pass rush can just go crazy. Yep. And then the offenses just don't mess it up. And then the 2 games where they needed Dak and the offense to do something, they couldn't do it. Right, the loss to Arizona and then obviously the debacle last week to San Francisco. So they aren't in any kind of offensive rhythm. And that's no excuse. But the fact of the matter is I don't think we've seen this offense operate the way that they set it up and that they intend it to. I think the Chargers offer them that opportunity on Monday night.
Yeah.
The Chargers have good – they have big-time names on defense and played like it, right? So I think there will be opportunities to take advantage of that. I think it will be a close enough game that you won't be in a situation like they were in against those other teams that we just named where they went up big early and really just asked Dak not to do anything wrong.
Quick final word.
Well, the reality is that, they're looking at a wild card. And if they are a wild card, they're either going to face Philadelphia or San Francisco in the first round, which we know what that story ends like. And what are you going to say with a quarterback that you paid a lot of money that you get the same result? You can get a lot of guys there. Trey Lance is there for a reason. Oh, and they may have to tear it down. Well, they may have to tear it down and build a different way with a cheap quarterback.
Super quick.
I'm with Dominique Foxworth. He's a good player, and Trey Lance is not Dak Prescott.
I didn't say that.
The only good news for Dallas is it's super early. They've got 3 months to get this thing figured out. We'll see if they will.
3-2.
In the meantime, last night, Travis and Tay-Tay were into it. Russ and Sean were not. There's a lot to unpack from a Thursday night thumping, and we're just the ones to do it. That's next. RC will join the conversation. Get up on ESPN.